It's slowly taking on more dimensions. And now we've got a whole new vaccine to try to figure out. That'll take time. But I assume that a lot of people are taking it. And according to social media, I guess Reddit, what'd you find out there, partner? What's Reddit reporting on the new shots?
Well, it appears that many people have taken them, and they were comparing notes as to how they were reacting to them. From what I can
tell,
any
negatives
the
at all? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Any negatives at all?
Maybe a sore arm, flu-like symptoms, you know, some discomfort for no more than a day so far.
Well, what do you want after testing it on 10 mice? Come on.
Yeah, we don't. Maybe they just got, well, I say just got plain old lipid nanoparticles with no cargo. We don't know.
That would be strange, wouldn't it, if they gave them just LNPs
well,
with no cargo?
Well, the lipid nanoparticles would still elicit
do enough damage on their own. Well, yeah.
Yeah, they will. They're considered reactogenic.
Mm-hmm.
And those are Moderna's words. So they will produce, you know, an inflammatory reaction.
I don't think they're going to mess around and miss another opportunity. This might be their last. I don't know they can have. I don't see how they can grind any more out of the whole COVID thing, to get people to roll up their sleeves. This seems to be about it. They're going to have to go to another pathogen, another type.
I think so. Or just, you know, continue to let the fuse on this thing burn.
Right.
The turbo cancers are really, I'm seeing a lot now.
Where are you seeing them?
Just all over social media, essentially. There was a long post today in one of the groups. It was started by someone saying they had known a nurse who had mm-hmm. taken the vax, young nurse in her 40s, mm-hmm. and, you know, was healthy before, but I guess was feeling unwell and went to the doctor recently, and it was discovered that she had stage 4 cancer and is now dead.
Another one.
And then the comments that followed were a lot of people saying, yeah, I know a situation like that, too. It's tragic.
Please go listen to our last program. It's for you. We're doing this all for you. It's your last program. I'd like you to think of it that way. We would like you to spread these all around as much as you can. We had a lot of very interesting commentary from Dr. William Mackus about turbo cancers in that program. And it is absolutely over-the-top, sci-fi, brutal. This is ruthless stuff. No symptoms. And you go in to be checked for something else, and they, oh, what's this? And they start looking, and they find out that you've got a couple days left. You got severe cancer of whatever major organ system they're talking about, and you're virtually dead. That's what's going on here. This is like a science fiction death sentence. It's too fast. It's crazy. So,
well,
yeah.
the insidious thing is that this doesn't appear to have or be accompanied by any symptoms.
That's the point. It's sci-fi. Nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. Next day you find out you got 12 hours to live. This is crazy.
Yeah,
it's an X-Files. It's an X-Files chapter. It's a. I don't know if it's a full episode, but it's certainly a chapter in one. This is. It's horrific. Horrific.
Very hard to watch. As I said, you know, many of these nurses are young, youngish. You know, shouldn't be coming down with these types of aggressive cancers at this age.
Well, they say that they're reproductive cancers, I guess bowel cancers too, and breast cancers. Those are the primaries that I've seen.
Some of them they're so disseminated that they're not able to determine where the primary tumor is, where it originated from.
They can't even find a focal point
Right.
Wow. Wow. Well, like I say, this to me, it's science fiction, turbo cancers. It's a sci-fi novel prop. It's
well, this
really
is sort of answering the question as to, you know, many people have asked, what? Why do the vaxxed seem fine? They've taken X number of shots. They appear to be doing fine. You know, it's the unvaxxed who are exposed to the shedders that seem to be suffering the most in some cases. Well, when you turn off parts of the immune system that are responsible for generating the symptoms, people will look fine for a long time, possibly. But that doesn't
Whoever
mean there isn't a whole lot of pathology going on below the surface.
Whoever designed these bioweapon injections, they're just beyond evil. Of course, the whole field of bioweapons is evil. We know that. But this is really something else. This whole thing of turning off your symptomology so you'll know you're ailing with something. Turn off all of the warnings. It's like not turning on the sirens at Maui. Just turn it all off, and all of a sudden, you've got a day or two to live. Or a week, or a month. I'm almost speechless with it. All right, the big news last week had to do with somebody named Buchholz from USC, not the one in Los Angeles, the one in South Carolina, University of South Carolina. Philip J. Buchholz, Ph.D. It seems like Philip went into his testimony in front of the South Carolina, I think it was the Senate, without full understanding of what he was putting his feet in. It was a strange thing. What are your thoughts on that? Then we'll read it.
Well, the backstory, the way I understand it, is that he has a laboratory at University of South Carolina. His specialty is cancer genomics. And he had heard of the work of Kevin McKernan here in New England about having discovered the DNA in a number of vials that he had tested. And his initial knee-jerk reaction was that, they're just spinning up lies and conspiracies. They can't possibly be true. So, but to satisfy his suspicions, he was able to get a hold of several vials that the University of South Carolina had retained. These are vials that they had given out to their students and, I guess, faculty. Mm-hmm. And he began testing them. And he coincidentally found the exact same thing that Kevin McKernan reported that he had found. And I don't know what compelled him to come forward. I suspect somebody might have persuaded him that he needed to speak out about this, and I think he probably deliberated at length about whether or not to do that. But he did, and he made his presentation at this South Carolina Senate hearing, which had to do with pandemic preparedness, and it consisted of several, I think about six different speakers giving testimony on why the vaccines need to be halted. And the whole protocol of how to deal with an infectious contagious disease needs to be revamped.
Okay, very good. Now, this created actually quite a firestorm, and Ph.D. Buchholz probably is thinking about this. Geez, why did I do that? Because he did churn up a lot of, heat. Yes?
Oh, yeah. And I think even during his presentation, he was trying to word it carefully so as not to cast aspersions or diminish people's confidence in these injections.
400... What is it, 200 or 400? I have it both ways. 200 or 400 billion pieces of DNA.
Yeah, well, generally they go by weight, like nanograms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's significant because in relation to the presence of the mRNA, about one-third of the nucleotides in this thing are DNA. In other words, two-thirds are the mRNA, but then there's a third by weight of DNA. And the danger with DNA, particularly the fact that it's chopped up, apparently he claims they tried to digest it, but just didn't do the final step in eliminating it, filtering it out. The smaller the segment, the more likely it is to integrate into your DNA. That's a problem.
It's a disaster.
And that is separate and apart from this SV40 promoter that's present in the Pfizer. It's not present in the Moderna, but it is present in the Pfizer. That drives the expression of the gene that it localizes to. And that could be a problem if it's a gene involved in controlling for cancer.
I don't for a second believe any of this was negligence. I think it's all planned, and it was certainly all deployed. These people are right.
The fact that it is now turning up, there isn't a single vial now that's been tested that doesn't have it. And we just had another lab in Germany announce that they tested the vials and found the same thing. So I think we're at a total of 8 labs globally that are confirming this finding. So it's very worrisome. And he's trying at this point. He issued a statement. I think it was maybe it was Saturday or Sunday. I would say backpedaling a little bit on his statements. You can read what he said.
All right. Here's what Philip Buchholz said. To those of you following my comments on DNA in the mRNA vaccines, number one, the DNA is real. However, the risk of this DNA is theoretical. There is no need to panic about past vaccination. Well, I would take issue with that immediately. That's backpedaling. I think he's definitely into a damage control mode there with that statement. Number two, my comments were directed toward regulators and industry experts. They were not intended for the general public. What's he doing in front of a Senate committee hearing then? I don't get it.
A televised one.
Of course. He's playing dumb here. Damage control. The unanticipated wide distribution, the unanticipated by whom, Philip? The unanticipated wide distribution outside the intended target audience has caused unintended and totally inappropriate anxiety in the general public. Everyone calm down, please. Well, they just listened to your words, Philip. That's all they did. They went off what you said. And to go into an open televised Senate hearing thinking this is not going to make news when what you're laying out is relatively new, the idea that with so many pieces of DNA in each one of these shots, every one of them, is a huge story. Number three, I was very encouraged at how my comments were being used by people fighting with each other. Very concerned. I got that. It's not right. Here, let me do it again. I was very concerned at how my comments were being used by people fighting with each other and therefore temporarily silenced this account to help keep some of you from throwing rocks at each other. Many thanks to those qualified experts who engaged critics and defending me during my absence. So he shut his site down because people were using his words to literally get into fistfights. Well, figuratively.
Yeah,
This is a big damage control little tract here. Two more.
Mm-hmm.
Number four. Scientists and industry experts are constantly reviewing safety data.
Well, they used to.
Yeah, that's... They taste... Come on. I'm going to gag on this. This is disgusting. 10 mice, and they're constantly reviewing safety data?
No, they're covering it up.
This is a normal process. With all the extra attention this issue has gotten last week, I'm pretty confident that future batches of mRNA vaccines will not have detectable DNA in it. Philip, it's a little late. 6.5 billion people have been injected with this shit. What world is he living in? He's a PhD. Maybe he's living in some academic Valhalla.
You know,
I
think that may be the case. Very sheltered, very sheltered.
Number five, in my opinion, forgive me for even saying this, in my opinion, these vaccines saved a lot of lives.
Well, that didn't go over well with people.
That is a whopper. Far more than the number of people who have had medical events subsequent to the vaccine. It ain't a vaccine, Phil. Let me be the first to tell you. Obviously, no one else has. It can't be a vaccine. It was never intended to be a vaccine. It's not designed and constructed to be a vaccine for anything. It's a bioweapon. So overall, these vaccines, he says, were a win. On what planet? In what dimension? Dr. Buchholz, are you living in? Not this one. However, those who experienced harm deserve to have scientists and regulators look carefully at possible causes. Is he doing a Rip Van Winkle? What is he doing? Even if the adverse events turn out to have nothing to do with the vaccine, he says, these people deserve to be heard with dignity and respect and have their concerns investigated by competent and caring people. Well, okay, and then he says, peace. Look, I'm sorry. In my opinion, these vaccines have saved a lot of lives. Oops.
How do we explain all the excess deaths that have happened since their rollout?
He's not living in reality, in my
Clearly.
Humble opinion.
Clearly.
This is absurd. It's ludicrous. All right. Dr. Jancy Lindsay came back and responded to this statement that I just read. Go ahead.
Yeah, and very, very graciously, as is her style. She said, with all due respect, Philip, you know the FDA has and will do nothing. Why are you promising false hope? Why would you encourage people to get a gene therapy you have shown to be contaminated in every vial tested, which was known by the regulators early on, and for which they did nothing to mitigate this cancer risk over the multiple shots that they have approved since they knew? Why would you think they would do anything differently? Why would you insinuate that they would, knowing more children will be injected and knowing perfectly healthy children have died from these genetic vaccines? Is that the price to pay to protect others? Because they don't protect. I strongly disagree with you here, as you know. The precautionary principle, Philip, to say that your comments are meant for the regulators only and that the public is not deserving to know if the risk is great, and terrible hubris. You told the regulators, have you heard back? No, and you will not. I greatly appreciate that you are willing to share these risks to the committee, and I am glad that these risks got out to the public. That is how it should have been all along, informed consent.
You know, his statement is, I'm sorry to say, is so transparently childish in the things he's saying and how he's trying to, he's insulting a lot of people who are pretty smart with that lame excuse and effort to cover up what he said. He should just stand on his words.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with him?
I agree.
I mean, there's an old axiom that people in academia, PhDs and master's people, and especially doctorate people, they don't know they have trouble detecting reality sometimes, right? And he really missed the barn with a shotgun.
Well, I think, you know, when you're in academia, sometimes you're very insulated from the real world.
Well, no, it comes with a PhD a certain responsibility to understand your responsibility to the greater knowledge and wisdom that you are contributing to society. And if you can't figure out that you go in front of a Senate committee hearing televised, and every damn thing you say is going to be picked up and potentially run with, you're not living in reality. That's absurd.
Yeah.
Sorry, doesn't work. Not for me. All right, now, there's another tragic story. God, it is quite amazing to me that he would say that. In my opinion, these vaccines saved a lot of lives. Well, we're going to hear now from a nurse, a professional, very well accomplished, obviously. We don't know this person, but she's gone public now. When it was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that the mandating of vaccines caused, in our professional health community nationally, caused about one-third of all professional health employees in this country, from doctors to nurses, to quit. They walked. They knew this was not to be trifled with. They knew this vaccine was a problem. So they walked. That left two-thirds behind who, most of them, took the injection, the bioweapon. Not the vaccine, Philip. It's not a vaccine. They took a bioweapon under threat of losing their careers. That kind of emotional and psychological terrorism, tyranny, and extortion should never have been allowed. And I feel so bad for the people who buckled under. I understand the psychology there. All right, tell us about Nurse Lindsay, and then we'll play this little clip.
Okay, so she was somebody that replied to Philip's comments.
Do we want to do that or play her clip first?
Well, I don't know. We could just read her comment. It's very short.
Okay.
She says, "Hey, Doc. I am severely vax injured and need you and would love for you to study mine and the coerced nurse's blood. We are both RNs who were harmed by our mandated vax. I have tons of issues, POTS, MCAS, tremors, autoimmune, etc. And she has transverse myelitis and now diastolic heart failure, and her body is shutting down as we speak. I fear our time here is limited and would love for you to research us while we are still alive so we can get answers and save humanity. Please reach out. Looking forward to speaking with you, sir."
See, this woman is in terrible, terrible, bad straits right now. She's in trouble. And she's not joking about while we're still alive. She's not joking about that at all. She has a friend who's apparently on the way out. We'll hear about that in a moment. I don't know if you want to read any more from this. There's a little response.
Well, okay,
down
so
below.
Her friend, the coerced nurse, did reply, yeah. "Thank you, my warrior. We are happy to do whatever is needed to help our families."
Right.
And another comment says, "Phil Buchholz, are you there?"
And Buchholz says, "For those of you who have expressed willingness to donate samples for study, thank you for your generosity and enthusiasm. I am not going to answer individually because I must get IRB approval and have qualified study personnel reach out to recruit people into a formal study. It's unethical for me to communicate with you individually about this." Bullshit. Sorry. "So please take this public statement of appreciation and know that once the study is approved and running, the right people will reach out to you. You all matter, but I can not tell you that individually. Peace." I'm sorry. I have no respect for this individual at this point. None. This is all just, it's all cover-up stuff. I don't like it. Doesn't work. Not for me.
Well, all right. So what they want to do, what was proposed during this Senate hearing, was in order to find out if this DNA has integrated, and he's maintaining that, you know, it's only a remote possibility, but we could check. They want to test the stem cells of people who have been injected, and I don't know if they would necessarily have to be injured or just had to have received the vax. So that would give some indication. They will be able to tell from a specimen whether or not this stuff integrated. But again, you know, are we looking at something that's going to take an inordinate amount of time, and they'll just run down the clock and wait for people to die, and then they never have to do the study?
I don't like duplicity. The guy says in front of the Senate committee, very important things. He should have stood on that science, on his research, his results, but he didn't. Backpedaling was your word. I think he threw it in reverse and floored it. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of money in, you know.
Grants.
Exactly.
No,
you don't bite the hand
money,
that feeds
grants.
You.
No. See, again, here's what he says. The DNA is real. However, the risk of this DNA is theoretical. There's no need to panic about past vaccinations. My comments, I didn't know anybody would be listening. My comments were directed toward regulators and industry experts. They were not intended for the general public. Oh, never mind you're in front of a Senate committee being televised, Phil. Come on.
One of the most controversial topics of our time.
Easily. In my opinion, he also said, these vaccines saved a lot of lives. Far more than the number of people who have had medical events subsequent to their vaccinations. Bull crap. There is an estimate now of over 2 billion people who have been vax injured. What do you think, Phil? 2 billion vax injuries? No. It's almost like there's two of him. All right, here's Nurse. I don't mean to be too hard, but I'm sick of the two-faced tap dancing around responsibility and accountability.
Well, I guess he's true to his word. He himself claims to have taken these things. His daughters took them.
That's what he said.
Parents took them. Yeah.
That's what he said.
I have met people in this industry, this biotech industry, that honest to God believe that this is the bee's knees when it comes to, you know, advancements in medical technology. They desperately want this stuff to work. They want it to be good.
It works, but not as advertised. That works.
Yeah.
That's 2 billion people who are injured from it. It works. No, it wasn't a failed or an experimental. This was a weapon owned by the Department of Defense that is called in the military literature a countermeasure, as in weapon, and it was deployed against humanity. Okay? It's really hard to step away from that and deny it, but I guess Mr. Buchholz, maybe because he has taken the shots and his family has, just can't go there. I'd understand that. I give him that much. I couldn't live with myself if I had done that to a family, if I had a family like that.
Well, again, I think it's more just, you know, wanting to believe that,
desperately,
that these things
so,
are good. It's
yeah, but that's counter
to science.
It's counter to science. No. There's no science that even remotely suggests these things work. No. And the number of people allegedly saved by the vaccine is like one in some huge number of people who took the shots. I've forgotten what it is now. One out of X. It's a big X, too. All right, here's Nurse Lindsay, formerly a real standardized, solid professional. Here's what she has to say now after being forced by tyrants to take the bioweapon.
Hey, guys. Haven't done a video in a while, and I'm sure you guys have seen my blood, and I'm still trying to process and wrap my brain around what I saw through the microscope when they...
Her blood is destroyed, okay? You've seen the pictures before.
They were looking at my blood. And, it's not good. We need help. There are so many of us that are injured. We are dying. If you guys want your research, you have to come get us. You have to seek us out. Tell us you want to research us. If not, we're not going to be alive much longer. I have a nurse, and you guys know her. Her name is Danielle Baker. She's the coerce nurse. And she had transverse myelitis, and now she is in diastolic congestive heart failure. Oxygen dependent and everything. Her body is shutting down. I'm begging you guys, please help us. Please. Help the children. Pull these shots off the shelves. They're killing people. They're injuring them. There's no compensation. We have no acknowledgement. We have no research. Please, guys, do the right thing. Please. I love you all.
Okay, and that video should be in guests now. And you can see in the video at the end of the audio portion, there's a picture of her before and as she is now. And I just go back to what Buchholz was slinging, and just doesn't work for me, not at all. And I do believe the 2 billion injuries is a real legitimate projection as to where we are now. At the very least,
when I was out today, I'm seeing more handicapped people than I've seen in a long time. I'm seeing youngish people, you know, maybe late teenagers, 20s, walking with canes or crutches.
You never see that. Never.
I saw probably a 30, maybe 40-year-old man, you know, looked otherwise healthy, but in a wheelchair. I saw a woman with vision problems. She's using a cane, blind man's cane, to make her way around the store. I think we're going to see, you know, a lot more carnage now that time is going by and more of these injuries are coming to light.
We've talked about this for over 2.5 years. We projected early on this was not necessarily going to show up immediately.
The number of people walking with limps or altered gait, it's noticeable.
That's interesting.
So this nurse, Lindsay, Naomi Wolf, under the name Vigilant Fox, did a Substack on her dated today, September 25th.
That's under our names and guests as well.
Yeah, it tells her story, and you know, it's a shame to see a good-looking young girl, her whole life ahead of her, ruined by these things. Utterly ruined, you know.
Well, you can find it. Just look in guests, and you can look at the video, and you can see Naomi Wolf's article about it as well. I'm sorry, I don't like people who play games, hiding behind some string of letters behind their name. This is just, to me, this is fraudulent representation. It's so different than what was presented to this Senate committee in South Carolina. In my opinion, these vaccines have saved a lot of lives.
He's not going to put that over on most of the people now. You know, there's so many crippled and injured that it doesn't fly. I mean, you know, people were all over him when he made that statement.
It's awful. I was very concerned at how my comments were being used by people fighting with each other, and therefore temporarily silenced this account to keep some of you from throwing rocks at each other. What a nice guy. And then he adds insult to injury here. Scientists and industry experts are constantly reviewing safety data at Pfizer and Moderna. Oh, yes, of course. They're there. And finally, I repeat once again, in my opinion, these vaccines saved a lot of lives. Sounds like Donald Trump, doesn't it? Yes, my warp speed saved 100 million lives.
Yeah.
Well, all right. There you go. All right. Mm. What else do we have here? Oh, let's do this. I saw a video of I guess they call them podcasts now, a podcast today, and this guy was raving about his guest. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful program. Fantastic information. Who was it? Richard Hirschman, the embalmer. Back to say, we're seeing a lot of very strange white fibrous clots in people. He's been saying that for a year and a half. So it was old, old news. And yet the host of the program was acting like it was earth-shaking. Hirschman did say 50% of the autopsies he's doing now are showing these white fibrous clots. Well, we tried to make the point early on that these are amyloid clots. They're proteinaceous material. They're not blood clots. They're entirely different. Well, another doctor has come forward with an idea that seems to fit in with the idea of the creation of these white fibrous proteinaceous clots and how they might be formed in some respects. His name is Dr. Joe Lee. And the idea is very simple. The antibodies in your body, which most all of us think of as being good things, with respect to spike protein, are not good things. And you found this and played it for me, and it was very interesting. So go ahead and tell us what Dr. Joe Lee is proposing.
Yeah, Dr. Joe Lee is an optometrist or ophthalmologist, I think, but he has been suspicious about this whole COVID thing from the beginning. He's been a thorn in, I would say, Fauci's side or the entire establishment's side in making them accountable for what they're doing. It started off back in October. Was it October of 2020? I'm losing track of time. Anyway, he'd put a 76-page letter together to Fauci saying that these vaccines are not going to work because this is supposedly a respiratory illness and you're not going to generate antibodies at the mucosal level to be able to neutralize the virus at its entry point. And he was ignored, and it's a long story, but he's not new to the scene. He's somebody that's continually deplatformed, shadow banned, canceled. So whenever you see that, you realize this is someone you probably ought to pay attention to. And most recently, he came up with an idea, a theory, that the blood is clotting because of the excessive amount of antibodies that are being created in response to the spike protein.
Now, this is not, let me say this, this is not antibody, ADE, it's not antibody, depends, go ahead.
It's slightly different. What you have here is something called immune complex disease, where you have an antigen, in this case, the spike or fragments of spike, and then you have antibodies that can stick to it in multiple areas. It isn't just one, and the antibody is so big that you get this antibody stacking. And if you get enough of it, it's going to cause the blood to thicken. And there are receptors on the platelets and the red blood cells as well that will encourage the clotting of the blood. And with every subsequent vaccine or injection, you just make the situation infinitely worse. So he's fairly confident that these antibodies are what's driving the pathology. There is such a condition called immune complex disease. And one of the treatments for it is plasmapheresis, where you try to get rid of a lot of these complexes, because, you know, once there's enough of them, the body has a heck of a time trying to filter them out. They
may
need
I
to
say
be taken
one other
to the
thing
spleen.
It fits in perfectly what you're saying. One of the original propositions of this new mRNA vaccine was that it encouraged the body to create more antibodies to fight off the virus. That was one of the things they were saying early on. Am I correct? That's what they sold it on.
And, so, you know, history has told or demonstrated, proved that antibodies in a coronavirus infection are not protective. That is not the way the body overcomes a coronavirus infection. Whenever an organism generates antibodies in response to a coronavirus, any future infection with a coronavirus will be infinitely worse. And he maintained, and I would tend to agree, just because I know in the case of feline coronavirus, it's fairly predictable that when a cat has antibodies to a coronavirus, it's either persistently infected with the coronavirus or it has a very poor T-cell or cell-mediated response. You know, neither of which bodes well for future infections. And so he maintains that during the pandemic, before the vaccines were rolled out, very few people actually formed antibodies to this virus. They were able to get it and get over it without forming antibodies, or if they did, you know, transient amounts of them. Because, again, it's an intracellular pathogen, so you need a T-cell response to identify the cell that's infected and then take care of it. And so everybody's been sold on, you know, this idea that you need antibodies. And the antibodies are really doing nothing but thickening the blood and causing this immune complex disease and also driving autoimmunity. You know, we're this IgG4-related disease now, which is almost a form of rheumatism. Any organ can be involved, but it's very inflammatory, and it's, you know, it's, they're destroying people's immune systems with these shots.
Right. That's the target. The idea that these clots are partially constructed with antibody and spike, he also mentioned fibrinogen, platelets, as being other components of this mass that begins to grow and assemble at the capillary level and works up from there. So it's,
yeah,
it's
all kinds of whatever's
clots
in the blood. There are many, many proteins that can be circulating in the blood at any given time, and they can become entrapped in this meshwork that begins to form. So I wouldn't say that overrides or replaces the work of Ressia Pretorius in South Africa that showed that the spike all by itself, because of those amyloidogenic domains or sequences, can initiate the clotting process even when there's no platelets present. And that's usually you need, well,
that's
almost
remarkable.
Always you need platelets to form a clot. So the spike in and of itself causes coagulation. But I think, you know, this Dr. Jolie is got another piece of the puzzle.
It's another piece. Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's jump over and take a look at some of the readers you put together for us, our human folder in these COVID chronicles.
Okay.
We got about 5 minutes left.
How about the smells of cancer?
Well, it's a wonderful topic always. The smells of cancer. All right, here's the first one. I have been really starting to think that the smell is the turbo cancer. We are not even sure it is cancer. People go to hospital and die of stage 4 cancer. My friend got that smell really strong after that diagnosed turbo cancer. He is still here, but not being... this is very poorly written, sorry. Let me try this again. You have to. When we read these, we're often cutting and pasting and putting words in that aren't there.
Guessing.
And guessing. You're a better guesser than I am, though. My friend had that smell really strongly after he was diagnosed with turbo cancer. He's still here, but not for long, because it is everywhere in his body. My next-door neighbor has had that odor really strongly this summer. This week he went to emergencies, ER, the hospital, because of severe stomach pains and got diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer and given just weeks to live. I'm just thinking, are we smelling that turbo cancer from these people? I know
mother-in-law.
This. I almost had it. I knew that one. My mother-in-law now has that smell, and she has severe back pains. What's in my mind is she may have some organ, according to the localization of the pain, and be in trouble. I am a nurse. She is awaiting her scans. Well, if this is... No due respect. Look, this is a foreign lady, okay? English is a second language, so we're not laughing at her. It's just hard to read. I'm just thinking, you know, Jack, will you finish this? You understand this woman better than I do.
I'm just thinking, you know, the jabbed who has that smell and was diagnosed with turbo cancer, maybe that smell is the first sign of it. Because their immune system doesn't work. Cancer doesn't show up with symptoms until it is too late. Anyone here who has worked with oncology patients? But we still don't know if it's cancer or some organ failure from spike. These cases are so strange. My old colleague went to the hospital last month because she was feeling so bad all of a sudden. She was diagnosed with turbo cancer everywhere and died the next morning at the hospital.
Did you hear that, everyone?
They couldn't even find out where the original cancer was because she was full of it when they scanned her. I don't know if she had the smell because I've been avoiding the jabbed.
This is another one.
Another one, yeah.
She got diagnosed with turbo cancer everywhere in her body. It was so bad they couldn't even pinpoint the focus or locus of the actual cancer outbreak. She died the next morning at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is just incredibly weird. All right, here's some more smells of cancer. Same lady. You better take this. Go ahead.
Okay. But really, is it even cancer that they have? Is this turbo cancer just cover up for vaccine injury, organ failure? They say everything is COVID, too. It is just so strange. You go to the hospital feeling sick, like you have the flu, and the next day you die of cancer, and you don't have any idea. Of course, their immune systems don't work, but I've been thinking for a while that this cancer is just a cover up.
Well,
No, I think it's cancer, and it's the result of this transfection. It's you know, probably the transfection in combination with the spike.
Right.
It's a deadly combination.
There's one more here. Go ahead. Did you get them all? That's the third one.
Yeah. I posted something a couple months ago about this. My friend, who is a nurse and phlebotomist, when I asked him what he thought, he said the smell was what he thought the smell was from, and I described the smell. He immediately knew what it was, that it was cancer. That's exactly how it smells when people are suffering from severe cancer.
Wow. Well, we don't know what that smell hasn't been quantified, at least in writing yet, but we've had a lot of descriptions of the other smell that's out there, the spiked putrescent smell, or maybe that's all cancer. We don't know. The door is open on this.
Well, it's a deranged metabolism for sure. You know, a lot of these people have issues with, well, the liver function, so you're going to have buildup of ammonia and ketones. Sometimes they have issues with their sulfur cycle, which that's pretty bad because, you know, the body needs sulfur. And I suspect with this B6 toxicity that so many people are suddenly suffering from, B6 is essential in the sulfur cycle in the body, creating sulfur compounds, detoxing. I mean, it's used extensively, and I have a feeling that these people are building up B6 because something is wrong with their sulfur cycle. There's some kind of blockage. And then what can happen is you get a proliferation of sulfur-reducing bacteria in the gut that are trying to compensate for the sulfur that's not being created physiologically. And that can really stink. I mean, the sulfur-reducing bacteria really can put out some noxious gases.
I take your word on that. Here's another one. This is real quick. This is for our dear listeners out there who are still wondering if they can go have sex with their vax opposites. All right? I'm not jabbed. My husband is. We sleep in the same bed, had relations without condoms 3 times only. I have developed ovarian cysts, endometriosis, never had that before, DVT, deep vein thrombosis, that's a clot, is it not?
Yep.
Now I have a pulmonary embolism from a highly elevated D-dimer results of thickened blood. Yes, I don't know if it's sleeping in the same bed, sex, or living in the same house, but it's real. And it is shedding. Okay. So the answer is, you are literally rolling the dice for your life. When you're engaging in physical activity and exchanging of bodily fluids with someone who is the opposite of your vax status. No joke.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been many, many, many stories like that.
Yes, countless. I would be willing to suggest that probably 90% or better don't let that stop them.
Oh, I know.
They just go right ahead. All right, that's it. Another very hopefully helpful, informative program. Again, the data is just it's a tsunami of data that we try to work through and present logically, pragmatically, and accessibly so all of you can have a chance at making the best decisions that you want to make. And that's what we still can do. They haven't taken that away yet. Anything to add
here? Indeed. No.
You're well done. Easy to get along with. All right. No, great job, as always. Wonderful.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on. Don't forget, share this program. Thank you.